This podcast is brought to you by Discounts and Deals, Roanoke's premium deals membership. The membership that lets you support your local businesses, save money, and have fun. Check them out on Facebook at Discount Deals Roanoke, all one word. Like or follow the page to be the first to know when you can become a member this fall. Discounts and Deals are on the way. As far as I'm concerned. What's good, people? It's your boy, Reese Ross, and you are now listening to As Far As I'm Concerned. And I'm joined back at the table again with Mr. Jamal Newby. Jamal, how you doing today?
Doing great, bro. Doing great.
Good, good. So, we're going to pick right up where we left off the last time. And I think kind of we ended along the lines of what your plans were, you know, after getting into the music, taking it a little bit further with the band and everything. And I think we were starting to talk about what your future plans were, moving on with solo projects and stuff like that.
Yes, I've been given a publishing company by BMI. The publishing company is called Double Jack Publishing. I also have a record label called Boss. As I said before, BOSS stands for the Business of Sweet Success. B-O-S-S, BOSS.
Nice.
You know, I figure it's nothing better than working for yourself. And that is a good business of being self-contained.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So working like, for yourself, you got the best boss and can't blame nobody.
Yeah, so then you can't say that's work, you know, because you like doing it. You know, if you love doing it, it's not work.
Absolutely. You know?
So that's a 24-hour thing. You know, I know person asked me once before, some man said, if you was to get $1 million, what would you invest it in? And I said, huh? He said, if you had $1 million, what would you invest? I said, I'd invest it in myself. He said, huh? I said, yeah. I said, because 24/7, I'm into what I want to do and what I need to do.
Yeah.
If I can't invest that with an investment company, they're not going to put that much interest in me. You know, they're looking for what they can get off commission or whatever they can get. And they got other clients, so they're going to be into somebody else 4 hours, 8 hours, or maybe I'm going to be into me 24 hours.
Right.
Can't nobody represent me better than myself, you know. So that's what I would do with $1 million. I'd put it into me, flipping it to $4-5 million.
Yeah, because anybody else is only going to be interested in what they can get out of it, not what they can help you get out of it.
Yeah, like banks, you know, they want to put your money in the bank and spread your money all the way around, then if you want to go in and get all your money out at one time, they got a question. Yeah, why you want to do it? Wait a minute, you ain't going to ask me why I want to get my money.
Yeah.
You know, so no, I'm not even playing that game. But like I said, $1 million, I would invest it in me because I figure I'm the best investment. You know, I eat, sleep, walk, everything 24/7 is me.
Right.
So I know what I need to do, and I know what I got to do, you know.
Ain't no questions about what you need to do when you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah, that's right. I got to do that, you know. And like I said, you know, hopefully I can venture out, pick up on some talent. You know, like I said, you know, it don't matter what it is. I mean, if you're reciting poetry, if you're singing, if you're dancing, whatever you may be doing, it's still a talent, you know, and it's based on yours because a lot of people can't do that. You know, if you're writing music, I want to explore, get some of this new talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because back in the day, you know, everybody wanted to be a basketball player, football player.
Yeah, yeah.
This new gen, they wants to be rappers. You know, now some of them getting over to the R&B vocals, you know what I'm saying? So you like basketball, football, and music. You know, people trying to get into that whatever way they can.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of avenues open, and I'd like to open some avenues that wasn't open for me.
Oh, you know? Hey, man. I mean, that's the way to do it is, you know, you pave the way for the next person, so they have it a little bit easier, and hopefully they'll continue that same cycle.
That's true. See, I'm not into that crab in the barrel thing. What I mean by that, you know, if I can crawl outside the barrel, I like to reach back in and pull somebody else out too.
Right.
Maybe
right.
They'll pull somebody, and then we can get the barrel empty, you know, and get a new role, you know. So, like I said, my thing is I like to set a foundation, give people an outlet to where they can do something. Because, man, like I said, when I came up doing this, man, like the 70s, 80s, and 90s, social media would have been wonderful.
Right.
As far as people came with talent, looking for talent acts, as far as I know, it was maybe Richmond, Virginia. Might have lucked up in Charlottesville. Might have lucked up in Lynchburg. But, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, no talent scouts came to Roanoke, Virginia. You know.
I guess they figured wasn't nothing here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know.
Wasn't worth driving that extra hour. Right.
I mean, and then we probably wasn't on the map. You know, so you got to look at that, too, you know. You got your big major cities like Richmond, Norfolk, and places like that. Hey, you know, they're going where the population is big. It's like the lottery.
Right.
You know, when the lottery get to big billion-dollar money, hey, small populated areas like this don't stand a chance. You know, you donating your call to somebody else's bank account. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you are. So that like hurt, too, when somebody else wins.
Yeah, you don't get $1 out of it. At least give me enough to play the ticket again. You know what I mean? But anyway, like I said, you know, I want to be that beacon of light for somebody to turn to and hopefully pull somebody up, and they can pull somebody and show them, like, your dreams can become a reality.
Right.
You know, like I said, man, I come from straight out of 1006 Jackson Avenue, a little shack, three-room shack beside a railroad track, for real, you know. And once I started realizing, hey, man, people like Michael Jackson came from basically the same thing, Stevie Wonder, you know, I said, man, wow, you know, it's a lot of people, man. Then, you know, when I was locked up, I got to looking at Mike Tyson. You know how he came up? What's this boy's name? Yeah, Mike Tyson, man, you know how he just came out of just nowhere and just made it. And I said, man, that's only in America can you really do this. You know, if you go with your dream and stick to your dream. You know, Muhammad Ali was a prime example. First a prime example.
Right.
You know, and I noticed he was a Capricorn. I'm Capricorn. I said, oh, wait a minute. You know, I got interested in astrology then. You know, so okay. Then I can find out a couple more people. I said, well, you know, you can do basically what you want to do if you want to do it.
Yeah.
You know. So that's, you know, that's my motto right there. You know, I don't care. No dead weight. You know, and I try to get my own. You know, I kind of like that James Brown theory. I don't want nobody really give me nothing. Show me the way.
Right.
You
know,
if you open the door just enough for my foot to get in, I'm going to get the rest of it in.
That's all you need.
Yeah, I'm going to get the rest of it in, you know.
Good thing is there are people like yourself that see the need to leave that door open for other people to come in instead of slamming it in their face and be like, well, I had to get here on my own, so I'm not going to stick my hand out and help you get through.
Yeah, that's where they feel like, you know, like get here the best way you can, you know. And I see a lot of things, man. You know, I see like guys, man, that, you know, they go off to college, they get NBA football, you know. I mean, like they get NFL football, NBA basketball, and they become big stars.
Yeah.
You know, friends and relatives still living in projects as housing developments. And they come through, man, like in Maseratis, Lamborghinis. You know, I really can't picture that picture because what are you trying to say? You know, are you coming in and helping the neighborhood or are you just coming in flashing?
I mean, to me, when you're coming in flashing, you might as well be screaming out the window, I'm better than everybody else here.
Yeah, because it seems like to me you slinging, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you don't need it. If you're going to come in the neighborhood like that, do something for the neighborhood, you know. You know, you don't want people to say, oh, that's so-and-so, man. So he playing for the Jets now. He playing for so-and-so. Hey, everybody know that, you know. But if that's so-and-so, man, playing for the Jets or whoever, man, he just gave a big community cookout or party or something, hey, then you doing something.
Yeah.
You know, you giving back, you know, because at any time, you can come back down that ladder, and you can come back down that ladder real quick.
Yeah, and you got to come back down to the people you stepped on.
Yes, sir, and that's what you
got to
realize. That's what you got to realize. See, and then you got to realize if you don't put yourself on the pedestal, somebody else put you on that pedestal.
Yeah.
And the person that put you on that pedestal, they looking for you to live up to what they think you're supposed to be. So when you step past that, hey, even they would chop your legs off money.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm saying, oh, he didn't got beyond himself. You know, he think he this or she thinks he that. You know what I mean? So you got to always remember where you came from and realize that in the blink of an eye, you could be right back.
Same way you got up there, you can come right back down the same way.
And all your little homies that hang around you with your entourage, when you get broke,
they're
gone. You can't get a bottle of beer from them or soda. You know what I'm saying? Man, you the one had all the money.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell anybody, man, If you don't know what to do, if you get out there and don't know how to handle it, check out MC Hammer's story.
Oh, yeah.
You can't take your friends and relatives on a ride with you if they're not part of your dream, man. Because they will break you.
The only thing I can say about him is his problem was he gave away too much to too many people.
Yeah, his friends, yourself, you know what I mean? People that you associate with.
People that was acting like his friends.
Yeah, well, you know how that is. You know, people misconstrue friendship.
Oh, yeah.
With association in a way, just like love and infatuation. You know what I'm saying? You know, they can be very easy confused, you know, like the thin line between love and hate, you know what I mean? Just bam. Don't take but that much, you know, that much.
And they did the same thing as soon as he was out of money.
Couldn't ask them for a thing. Yeah, you know, couldn't ask them. They first said, well, you the one that had the money, you know. And, you know, who wants to listen to a person boast about what they had when they realize how you lost what you had?
Right.
See, now, if you lost it some other way, like, you know, IRS might have came in, took it, and whatever, mate. You know what?
People
listen to that, but I mean, if you just went out here and just threw away billions of dollars and bank nothing, helped nobody, you know, then you got to go right back to the same neighborhood you come from. You can't expect to be greedy like that. You know, you can't do that. You know,
it's just sad when that's just not reality. Have money like that, and the people around them obviously don't have their best interests in mind, so nobody's saying, hey, slow it down a little bit, because you know, you blowing this right here, it's going to be gone soon. And it's weird to look at that and realize nobody said, slow down, you gonna lose everything.
No, because everybody riding that free ticket.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, you think about it, man. You know, you come out of a low development housing, you know, or just straight up poverty, you know, like most of us.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, you get into big money. You got to realize that this is a hell of a fantasy that just came real. And you can print yourself all you want. It's just still real. So you got to realize what you're going to do. That's why when you hear about people not showing up to pick up lottery money, it's a fear there, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody wants to win the lottery. See what I'm saying? But a lot of people don't know how to accept it when they get it, you know.
And then when they do get it, some of them, they go crazy. Have you ever watched that show?
Yes, I have.
How the Lottery Changed?
Yes, I have.
I don't know why I like that show so much. I've seen every episode.
You can learn a lot from that show. I learned a lot from that show.
I'm like, some of the stuff that some of those people did, I'm like, why?
So that's the reason. You never had it before. So everything that you thought you wanted, you get.
Yeah.
All your associates come around you, they all of a sudden they friends. So you trying to make them happy too. You know. Then you realize in the end, man, look at the money that I threw away that I could have saved.
Yeah.
Cause tomorrow coming, whether we realize it or not. You know, sun always come up every morning and goes down every night, whether you see it or not. That's gonna never stop.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So you got to realize, hey man, tomorrow is coming. You know. Don't do it all today.
Yeah, and then you got people like me who definitely believe in karma. So I'm like, well, if I don't help somebody, then it's going to turn around on me.
But that's a good thing,
too. And I'm going to end up being the one that needs the help.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm a huge believer. Like, my AKA, when we're doing this podcast, just having fun, whatever, and me and my best friend, we always make up a bunch of AKAs for ourselves when we start out. And my AKA is Karma's cousin.
Hmm.
But, I mean, you know, I fully believe in karma.
Karma real, man.
Oh, yeah.
Karma real. You know, like I said, you know, I can definitely tell you something about that karma thing. You know, I think that things that came down in my life, it wasn't so much because I was guilty. For what I was charged for, it's for things that I didn't get caught for that tricked me up.
Yeah,
you know,
karma was like,
so then you
now
know,
it's time to pay the pipe.
Yeah, they, you know, they say it comes unexpectedly, and you don't know, it comes tenfold sometimes to what you did, and you don't know when it's coming, right?
Right.
So, you know, it took me a minute to sit back and think, I said, well, damn, I said, I'm not guilty of what these people are trying to say I did, but Then I got to realizing the stuff that I was doing. And I think I was really kind of saved in a way, man, because, you know, the way I was headed, man, I was going to the penitentiary regardless, or either to the graveyard, because I had got so wild, you know, that I wasn't even thinking, man. You know, I mean, I was just doing crazy stuff, man, you know, and I thought the thing, I said, damn, I could have went to the penitentiary with a murder charge. And we got way more time than what I got for being accused of an armed robbery charge.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So then I got to realizing what happened, and then I got some little things come down between my spouse and I. And I get to realize, well, damn, you know, I said, it's karma, man. You know, all this coming back, you know. So, like, now, you know, like, I deal a fair hand, man. You know, like, my mom used to always tell us, you know, like, the golden rule, please and thank you. You know, yes, sir, no, sir. You know what I mean? Right. You know. And I, you know, at please and thank you will get you a long way, man.
Oh yeah.
You know, I realized that, man, you know, with officials, you know, especially, you know, being a black man, when you get approached by them officials like that, man, they looking for you to come off negative. You know, They looking for that. You know, you notice when they step out the car, they got their hand on the pistol and all that. See, they scared and they looking for some trouble.
Yeah.
So I'm saying they're stereotyping, you know what I'm saying? But when you come off with some kindness, they don't know how to take that.
Yeah, it throws them off for a
second. Yeah, because the brain already been analyzed. Well, look, you know how he is. You know, already stereotypes, you know what I'm saying? So that's what they're looking for. So when they see just the opposite, damn, don't know how to take it. Don't know how to take it. You know, and that's psychology, man. You know, and that's how that works. You know, you gotta find out how a person thinks about you, how they feel about you, and you hit them with just the opposite. It's like a 1-2 punch, they're off the feet. They don't know what's going on, you know. You don't know what's going on, you know. And I learned that, and that's how I got a lot of things in my advantage, man, when I was trying to get from B custody to A custody, you know what I mean? Like I said once before, you know, you got rules and you got bylines and guidelines, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the people that make the rules don't follow the rules.
Oh, no.
But they give themselves little loopholes with the bylines and the guidelines because they give them little angles they can get out of.
Yeah, they make sure they can get away with things, but
yeah, you know, but you don't supposed to go that deep because the rule you see in front of your face is the one you're supposed to do, and that's the one you're supposed to accept. That's just like teacher would tell you back in the day, do as I said do. You know, to me, I thought that was the craziest thing in the world. I mean, who are you for me to do what you said do? You know, I get in trouble for not doing what my parents said do. You definitely can't expect me to do what you said do. You know, man. Yeah, to me, that just didn't register, you know what I mean? But anyway, like I said, man, my advice to a lot of these young kids out here, some of these old heads that still want to try to get out here, especially some of these older rappers, when you got material, man, put protection on your material. You know, you can have a best friend, girlfriend, whoever listening to your material, and with these modern telephones, they can record everything that you letting them hear.
Yeah.
Take your stuff, file it right with our Library of Congress. You will never know it until you try to file it, if you try to file it, and take your music and make a mint off of it. You know, this is what my group, the Edge of Daybreak, is going through right now. You know, you got pirates on land now. They're not like Captain Jack and all them back in the day.
Right.
You know, you got them on land right now. I mean, you know, they hitting the social media. They robbing banks by hacking. They robbing social accounts by hacking. So you got to be on top of things now, you know. And I told this boy, I said, man, he said, listen to my music, man. I said, hold it. Has it been copyrighted? No, it haven't been copyrighted. I said, hold it. You might not want to do that, man. You know, I said, because that's a dangerous move. What you mean? I said, because I could record that. Somebody else could record it. File it under Library of Congress. And I said, get it under my name. And I say, it's mine.
Right.
You know, if I come up with a hit, you can tell everybody in the world that's my song, but they're looking at what's on paper. If it's not on paper,
you ain't got no proof.
You can sing it all day long. You know what I mean? No proof, you know.
So what's your what's your first move after all this stuff with the band and what was going on with that? What do you feel like is going to be your first move to kind of get back into things the way you wanted to?
Well, my first move is we trying to put an album together, a new album, Under the Edge of Daybreak. After we do that, my next move, with my money that I got coming in from various things, like I said, with A&E and other people, and off of royalties, I'm planning on putting out my own individual CD.
Okay.
You know, Jamal and Friends. And I want to do that, man, because I know a lot of talented musicians.
Right.
You know, just trying to make it where I'm trying to make it to, and trying to make it even as far as I done made it so far. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, this is for the ones that done passed away. This is for the ones that still around. This is for the ones that still want to do something. You know, it's a lot of talent, man. I know some guys, man, that I said, man, they got to be like in their 75, almost 80 years old. You know, they're still around. I mean, they play some mean blues guitar, man.
Right.
You know, mean blues guitar. You know, so I like to hook up with some of these cats, man, and put them out there on a recording some kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just because it's their time. You know, if I can do that while they're still living and give them something, you know, hey, it's just like my kids. My kids know nothing about my music, know nothing about my past career, or nothing that, but they will soon because it's coming out almost everywhere, right? But
yeah,
these cats the same way. You know,
and that might be all they need to,
yeah,
you know, push them forward a few extra years or however much more time they got. Yeah. That might be the one thing that's missing is that they can get the chance to have that break.
Yeah, because I know it's their dream, you know, because they want to do this and they've been listening to things all their life and never did it. You know, kids come in, they interfere with things. Wives come in, they interfere with things. Yeah. When you're trying to take care of family, that could take care of a whole lot of dreams out the door, but you know, they like up and smoke like Cheech and Chong, you know. Right. You know, when you get them those type of obligations, a whole lot of things. Just
you gotta put it on the back burner.
Yeah, and back burner been out. You know,
back burner get further and further away.
This thing ain't no stove out the door.
Electricity is turned off. Yes, sir. Your stove don't work.
I might well forget that one. I got to try something new here and there. You know, but like I said, man, that's the thing. You know, I like to do that. You know, like I said, I'm not a selfish person, man. You know, I'm not going to be as generous as I have been, you know, because I see where people takes advantage of generosity.
Oh, yeah. And you learn from luckily, you can learn from those mistakes before they ruin everything.
Yes, sir. Like I said, you know, I've learned from previous events to when this right here pop off like it's supposed to pop off.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not trying to be funny. You know, I'm like the song, God bless the child that got his own. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm going to help you, but
I'm
not going to let you help yourself to me.
At this point, with what you've been through thus far, the upside is you know what to look for.
Yes.
When things start happening.
Yes.
You'll see it coming like, no, I'm not dealing with that.
Yeah, and I know who to stay away from.
I know how that ends.
Yeah, I know exactly who to stay away from, you know.
All of a sudden, you got new relatives. And
Let's go right back where you came from. You know, I had this woman that asked me, she said, look here, when you get paid, you going to look out for me? I said, huh? She said, when you get paid, you going to look out for me? I said, you going to look out for me? She said, what you mean? I said, see what I mean? I said, now take it any kind of way you want. You know,
right.
I said, but when I came back at you with that, you asked me, what do I mean?
Yeah, you questioned.
And I knew exactly what you meant. You know, you wanted some money. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I said, so think about that. You know, I don't know nothing about you, you know, except for we conversate every now. Then you got the audacity to ask me, am I going to look out for you? For what?
People.
I told her, I'm going to look out for you. If I see you coming around the corner or down the street, I'm going to definitely move. You won't see me. I'm going to definitely be looking out for you and people like you. Huh?
People
That's what she said.
Try to act like you owe them something.
Yes.
Just for speaking to them almost. It's like, I don't owe you nothing.
I owe them the quickest exit I can give them if I see them. That's what I said. Yeah, I'll be looking out for you. You know, if I see you before you see me, hey, that's gone. I'm gone.
I've said that to people about this podcast, though. And I'm nowhere near, I won't say nowhere near successful with this podcast, but I'm nowhere near, you know, where it's generating income, that type thing. But I've already told people, you know, I'll ask you once, maybe even twice to come on. Mm-hmm. After that, I'm not going to do it anymore. Yeah. But also realize that if it does get to the point where I want it to be, don't come to me asking to be on.
That's right, because you turned down your invitation.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you to talk to my secretary. Yeah. You go say, who's your secretary? And I'll let you know when I get one. You can talk to them.
Right. Yeah, because you turned down your invitation.
And it's been a couple people that did it. Yeah. I posted this on Facebook, I think it was last week. I'm not going to beg anybody for anything.
That's right.
I barely like to ask for help as it is, you'll never catch me begging for
anything.
Right.
That's right.
I'll give you a couple chances. I'll give you two. I'm going to say three at the most.
Yeah.
After that, on to the next one. Because somebody will do it where you won't do it or where you're hesitating to do it. Somebody else will do it.
Yeah, that's right. So. You know, that used to be one of my mottos. I don't play baseball, but if you get three strikes, you definitely out.
Yeah.
You know, if you get three strikes.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Because it depends on, thank you.
Thank you.
It depends on who you are.
Yeah, if you get three
strikes. And what your reaction, the way you turned it down. That's what's going to make the difference right there. You might just get the one strike.
That's right. And sometimes it don't depend on who you are. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, man. I have found out, it's a true saying, the people that's closest to you are the ones you got to watch the most.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the ones you got to watch the most, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my sister been running around telling people that she's one of my biggest fans, and when I get paid, I probably won't give her $10, you know. And a couple people told me about that, and I said, huh? I haven't received 50 cent yet.
Right.
And she out here talking about she my number one fan, and I probably won't give her $10 or probably won't see her. And she right now, she is 100% right, because she will not see me, because she always let me know where she coming from. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm glad you told me in advance. You know, you don't have to stick the dagger in my back. You showed it to me before you got to my chest. So, hey, you know. Since that's how people can block their blessings, man.
That's
how people can block their blessings, you know. And they try to ride on your blessings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can't work like that. You know, it can't work like that. You know, individually, if you got a doctor's degree and you're a doctor, that's yours. Just because I know you or we family, I can't ride on your degree.
Right.
You know, I can't even be one of your patients.
You wouldn't sit there studying with me when I got it.
So. You know, so I can't come up to you and they say, man, if you hear this $100,000 check and this certificate, I can't be standing around looking at you like, what's happening, bro? You know, my rent due, I need this. Well, hey, that's your rent. My rent paid.
Good luck on that.
My rent paid, you know. That's not being cold. That's just being the truth, you know. But well, like I said, I like people coming out in advance, though, because they let you know where they're coming from. And I like that, you know, because I don't have a problem with telling somebody no. You know, I don't have a problem with that at all, because I've been hearing no ever since I was a kid. And I don't have a problem accepting no, because if you tell me no and it's something I want to do, then that's you saying no. It's other outlets I can take.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's not an absolute. You know, I tell my kids, if I drive up on a street that's a cul-de-sac and it's a one-way, if I can't turn around, I can back up.
Right. It's always a
You know,
way
I'm not stuck.
It.
You know, I'll get up in somebody's yard and turn around. I'm coming out of there. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not stuck, you know. But a lot of people, man, I don't understand. You know, just take things for granted, man. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, like, you know, the old saying, can't never could. And the reason why can't never could, because should never would. You know what I mean? You know, we're talking about if. That's the biggest thing with procrastination. If leaves you just where you at.
Yeah.
You know, if I could have did this, I could have did that. I mean, who stopped you but you? If you let somebody else stop you, hey, that's still on you, right or wrong.
Because you let them stop you.
You let them stop you. You can't fault nobody but yourself, you know. As long as you got a brain that can think and you can sit down and rationalize things, if you got to be around a lot of people all the time, you can't think right anyway. That's why I'm mad in this pandemic, then, man. If we only knew how many people that's really done went to the nut house or just sitting in the corners.
The pandemic exposed a lot of things for a lot of people that seemed like some of those people weren't aware it was an issue that they had.
Yeah.
Until it got put in their face, and then they realized, whoa, wait a minute. I'm a little bit more messed up than I thought I was.
Yeah, now, you know, I'm going to tell you, Ben, that you said that. You said on the news the other day about you got grown people that went back home staying with their parents, right? And they taking their kids with them. And I be saying, damn, they thought they had got rid of all of that.
Yeah.
Now, what happened? You get up on that lottery or high, you started buying things that you really don't need. Then when something like this come down, you got to get rid of all of that. Even to the point where you got to go back to somebody's basement and live. See what I'm saying? Something wrong with that picture, man.
Oh, yeah.
Something's wrong with that picture. You know, you took care of what you needed. I mean, what you wanted more than you took care of what you needed. You know, and the average person to do it, you see that with factories. Factories open up. People get a good job. You know, $20, $30 an hour, right? The car they got is no longer any good.
Or not good enough.
Yeah, they got to get another car. See what I'm saying? Then they got to get the wife a car. They got the kids a car, whatever, right? They got to get new furniture. Okay, 6 months into the job or the year, the plant start laying people off. You from the first ones to go. Now, you still got that note coming in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can't tell a man, look, I've been laid off. I can't pay you. No, sir. Well,
they don't care.
Don't worry about it. We come and get it. We can sell it to somebody else. You know. You know, it's just crazy, man. I learned in business school, man, that you got to take care of your essential things, things that you got to have. You know, food, clothes, and shelter are things that everybody needs.
Right.
You know, I did some volunteer work down at the rescue mission through the Goodwill. And I realized then, man, you know, I don't have any problems at all. Because what I saw down there, there's no need to complain, man. You know, I talked to this woman. She got a baby 6 weeks old on her hip. Another one 6 months old in a stroller. Another one a year old walking beside the stroller. Now picture that. Then the rescue mission. And the daddy, too. That's a whole family.
Yeah.
Now, somebody did something wrong somewhere.
Well, somebody didn't do enough.
Yeah, somewhere, you know. And then, you know, you got people, man, that is caught up on this foolish pride, what I call foolish pride. They won't ask people for things or reach out to organizations that can help them for the fear of what other people might say. Mm-hmm. But then when you end up in a situation like that, people are talking about you anyway. See, I realize this. People are going to talk about you whether you're doing good or bad.
Oh, no matter what you
so do. So you might as well go and do your thing and say to hell with what they think, because if they're not helping you in your journey or putting anything towards what you're trying to do, that's just their opinion. That shouldn't stop you, man.
Yeah.
You know, that shouldn't stop you. Like I said once before, I love haters. See, because haters motivate me. When I get up in the morning and I don't feel like I want to do something, that second thought come in like a kick in the butt. You got to get it, but, you know, because you got people out there hoping that you don't make this move.
Oh, yeah, you got people waiting.
See what I'm saying?
For you,
you know, they're waiting for that. See what I'm saying? I'm not going to give them their glory. I'm not going to give it to them. And in the same way, it's helping me at the same time to keep me from procrastination, keep me staying in my lane, yeah, and keep me staying where I need to be, you know. You know, because you got people, like I said, you got people in your family that's closer than you think, that's hate, boy, they'll hate on you, put out there, tell things on you, to turn people against you because they're against you. And like I said, think about it. You got a fan base building. You know, I got a fan base. People that's professional, that's out there making a living off of what they're doing, what we're trying to do, right?
Yeah.
Let's just think. If they gave every fan of theirs a dollar, whatever they do would be volunteer work, wouldn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah, so just because you're a number one fan, you can't expect to get paid.
And then when those dollars that you gave out run out, ain't nobody gonna give you a quarter of it.
Yes, sir.
To help you get back.
Can't they get a bottle of water? No, I need that. It's the only bottle I got. And you looking in the refrigerator full of water. You know. Well, look up. Well, you can't buy no water. You mean you? Don't even come with that, you know.
What happened to all your money?
Yeah, you know, good well that some of it in your refrigerator, looking at. You know what I mean? Come on now. You know, but I'm just saying, it is what it is, man. So you got to not be selfish. You got to look out for number one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to look out for number one. You know, like I said right now, if I can't believe in me, how can I expect you to believe in me?
Exactly.
That's not logical. You know, if I can't believe in me, it's impossible for me to even think to somebody else I can get somebody else to believe in me. Yeah. You know, I got to believe in me when nobody else even thinking about me. Right. You know, it's been times, man, things have been so hard, I even thought about giving up on me. And then I saw, oh, hell no, you can't do this, all you got. You know, me, myself, and I, like Breon said, that's all I got.
Then what?
Yeah, come on, man. You know, no, I can't do this. Yeah. I'm not suicidal, you know, because I found that out. I done been through enough stuff to try to commit suicide, but shit, that shit crazy. I tried to act crazy in jail. This shit lasts 15 minutes. Maybe not that long. 15 minutes, I'm telling God.
This ain't a good idea.
No, man, people got to looking at me and all that kind of stuff. I said, wait a minute, this ain't going to work here. Yeah. You know, this definitely not gonna work. And then I come to find out, that's the worst place in the world to be acting crazy, man, because they send you to one of them nut houses like Marion Institution or something, right?
Never heard from you again.
Give you shock treatment and put you on them little Thorazine pills and stuff like that. You will be crazy.
Have you somewhere drooling.
Yeah,
for no
you will
reason.
Be crazy. That's right, you know. That's so I just looking at me, I said, that ain't last 15 minutes. I said, oh, well, I got to go for the flow. Whatever they send my way, I got to accept it. Cause crazy not going to get it, buddy.
Crazy going to take a lot of work and might not get you nowhere.
Yeah, that's right. Get me in bad shape, you know, worse than what I'm in. No, sir.
Do you have any, I know you said you had plans on doing your, putting out a CD of your own.
Yeah.
What about like live events where
you most
just kind of assemble... You know, people that you know and or new talent.
Most definitely. See, all that's gonna build up towards making money for recording and for other things. See, I'm gonna tell you the truth, man. I would really like to open up a Boys and Girls Club in Northwest. Over there where Monroe School used to be, that was the plan when they tore that school down before they built the Afdale. What the new school they got over there? Academy? Academy? See, that plan, that field that Monroe was in was supposed to have been a Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah.
You know, the only one I know they got in town, I don't even know how that functioned, is on 9th Street down here in Southeast. You know, Boys and Girls, when you go across the bridge.
But they got the West End Center down here.
Yeah, but they need a Boys and Girls. See, that West End Center was a club, man. That was a club we had back in the 80s called Mr. J's.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Yeah, it was a nightclub, you know. Yeah. And white folks had it back before then called the Rainbow Club when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Patterson Avenue was a no-no. For us, we got was Roar.
Yeah.
When you went on Patterson that night, you went on signed wrist. See what I'm saying? Daytime it was cool because you had shot wheels right there, you had other little stuff, right? But at nighttime, Patterson Avenue, Camel Avenue, and all that, no. You know, I got home, ran home plenty of nights, man, coming from a Jefferson High School football games in my margin uniform, come across Camel Avenue to get to Roy Avenue. White boys all know that. Well, look, there goes some of them niggas, man. Let's get them. They turn around, man. We throwing rocks and everything. We running through the alley, man. You know, so I found that out. No, baby, you know, nighttime just didn't get it, man.
Yeah,
you know, it's just somewhere you stayed in your area, you know what I mean? But like I said, I like to get out here, do some concerts. My kids have never seen me at work. See what I'm saying? My grandkids never seen me at work. I want them to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I really want to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I tell him, this stage is calling me like Richard Pryor's crack pipe said he was calling him. You know, that shit calling me, man. You know, where you at? Well, I'm right here, you know, it's calling me, you know, and it's that time.
Something they should see.
It is that time, man.
Now versus after you're gone and then seeing like, yeah. Man, we ain't had no idea.
No, that's right. That's right. Like I said, my story, you know, like, it's a legacy right now, and I like that because if I was to die right now, you know, they got a history that they can go back on.
Right.
See what I'm saying? You know, y'all too, because y'all family. See what I'm saying? It's a legacy already in the start. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I want to do a concert, you know, and I want to do the concert outside, you know, because I don't think the Coliseum will be big enough, you know. It's going to be a free concert. I'm not charging you one penny.
That's what I was thinking when you were saying that, too. Obviously you can put music out on the internet and stuff like that. And yes, it'll reach more people.
Yeah.
But to me, it's not gonna reach people the same way as them sitting there in front of you, hearing the music,
that's right.
Feeling the vibration from the music,
yeah.
You know, reacting to how everybody else is reacting.
And knowing that's some of the story and actually seeing the person, you know.
Right.
You know, yeah, see, that's what I want to do. You know, Prairie Park over here by Jackson Avenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a good spot, but it's not big enough. You know. But it's large enough for the people that can't afford transportation.
True.
So I see two or three things going on. See what I'm saying? I see something like that going on. I see something like Washington Park going on. I see something like Walsina Park. And a couple of other places around here, you know, to where people could just come, bring your food, just like you used to back in the day. Old sit out, cook out with your picnic baskets and all that, see what I'm saying? It just,
yeah.
Have a ball, man.
Oh, yeah.
Man, there's no fee, you know. Just come out. Free entertainment. Yeah, then you know, I said, people, you know, if you want to get a vendor's license, you can come out and sell stuff. And, you know, but, you know, if you sell stuff, I want you to donate something to an organization. See what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, because you're just not going to make all the money then run. No, you're going to have to do something to somebody. You know, that's why I say I like to establish a boys and girls club, man, because black kids need that, man.
Yeah.
You know, and they talking about now you got computers. People got computers access now more than they had before the coronavirus. And a lot of people don't have it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I took my kids to Disney World first time, I think it was 1996. Then I took them back in 98 and they told their friends about it. So I could see the look on their little friend's face, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I go to a couple of churches, man, and I asked the churches, could we come up with some type of trip to at least Busch Garden?
Yeah.
Now I went down the Apple bus line and talked to the people about leasing three buses, you know, get chaperones, find out how much that's gonna cost and all of that.
Yeah.
And I bring it back to a couple of ministers. So I want to grab kids out of Lansdowne, Lincoln Terrace, Hurt Park, you know where the worst neighborhoods are, see what I'm saying?
Right.
Take these kids somewhere that they probably would never go.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? I figured three buses or four buses to do it, get a couple of chaperones, see what I'm saying? You know, and I said I was thinking from maybe the age of 6 to maybe 12. See, anything over that you got your hands full, because they think they're grown.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so I don't want to fool with that, and I don't want to put that on chaperones, you know what I mean?
Starting at that age 6.
Yeah. Sometimes you might have to get a little boot on that, but you know, but anyway. But, you know, I seen that and I wanted to do that. But, you know, they told me the same thing that they told me when I asked them about giving an old-time revival on Henry Street, that wasn't going to work. I said, what you mean? He said, one of these churches got to be in charge of it. I said, why is that? You know, but that's how it is, man. The Baptists don't get along with the Methodists. The Methodists don't get along with the Protestants. The Protestants don't get along with the Jehovah's. But I said, hold it right there. All of y'all read out the King James Version of the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, and all y'all looking to go to the same heaven if you die, right? So if you don't get it together on earth, ain't it too late to get it together once you hit that hole in the ground? Huh? I said, think about what you're saying. If y'all can't get along on earth, you can't get along after you die.
Yeah.
If the Baptists don't get along with the Methodists don't get along with the Protestants and so on, right? When are you going to get it together? You can't get it together after you die.
Everybody can't go.
Yeah. But that's the way it is, man. So I counsel that. I said, okay. They want to be claiming something that, no, I said, I counsel that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, counsel that, man. Like I said, everybody got their hustle, man. You know, I don't knock a person's hustle unless it affects me directly.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? But I don't knock a person hustle, you know, because hell, I've been hustling all my life. You know, when I first started dancing for them quarters and stuff, it's a nip joint. Shit, that was a hustle right there. I said, oh, Lord, baby, I can make some money off of this.
Well, I don't know what you would call it, but, you know, a little outside concert.
Yeah. Stuff I would love. Like that, I love to do like something that. Like that.
People love that stuff anyway.
Man, I would love to do something like that.
If you make it free, then more people are more inclined to come because, I can go to this and enjoy myself. I don't have to spend money to be there.
That's right.
I can just enjoy it. You know, you could do that and add, you know, get you a projector and a giant screen, once sun go down and everything, you know, play a couple movies or something.
Just you can do all that. But see, collectively, we have to bring that back. Yeah. See what I'm saying? You know, we had to bring that back. You know, we had to bring that back. You see that downtown on the market. Mm-hmm. You know, you see it other places, right? But we, as a black person, as a black group, I'm going to have to say it, and it's the total of truth, we have not unified yet. We had more unity in the 60s, and 70s, and 80s than we had in the 90s, and we got in the 2000s.
Right.
We separated, you know, and it's getting deeper and deeper. You know, now, maybe it's forming in bigger states and bigger cities because you got people talking about Black Lives Matter, you know, and you know, you got a whole lot of integrated babies now, you know, interracial babies now. So, you know, they got to be on board because, hell, they got mixed kids. So, you know, just because your grandma wasn't for it, the granddaughter for it, you know, this friend of mine, man, like, pure redneck, you know, but his daughter got pregnant by a black guy. He loved the grandbaby, but he can't stand the daddy. So I said, wait a minute, what kind of sense that make? He said, huh? I said, you love the grandbaby, you love your daughter, but you hate the daddy. I said, that don't make sense to me, man. You know, well, he did. I said, look. I said, did he rape the girl? No. I said, so what's the beef? That was a consensual thing. She volunteered. They were going together. She come up pregnant. That's how it happened.
Right.
You know, I said, did you and your wife plan her? He said, no. I said, most people don't plan kids unless they're rich. You know, most people do not plan pregnancy. I know most black people don't plan. I ain't planning now. One of mine sitting next thing I know, whoop, there it is. You know, there it is. But, you know, I did what I had to do because I didn't ask to be born. They didn't ask to be born.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not their responsibility. It's my responsibility to take them to a certain point to where they can do on their own.
Yeah.
Now all of them doing good on their own. Hey, my job done, man. You know, my job done. Now my grandkids, they the babies now. You know.
Yeah, we don't have that.
But we don't have that unity, man.
Not even just as black people, though. Just as a community as a whole.
Communities are not like they used to be.
I think the only thing that's even close to stuff like that is Henry Street.
Yeah.
That's the closest thing to it.
That is, and that's tainted. That's real tainted. They trying to phase that out because it's nothing black sponsored about Henry Street. You know, Cox Cable sponsored it, the Water Deposit sponsored, Toyota sponsored, people like that sponsored. It's nothing black sponsored Henry Street.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the little place they gave us in the center in the square, it's about big as this room, the museum, Harrison Museum. See what I'm saying? So they trying to phase that out. But we as a people, we can change that. We can change that.
Right.
You know, I'm looking at it like this, man. You know, if I can afford a $70,000 or $80,000 car, and I haven't paid for the house that I'm in,
mm-hmm.
and I'm parking my car on the sidewalk, on the side of the street, or in the driveway, there's something wrong with that picture. Your car depreciates as soon as it leaves the lot. Buy that house, and then buy the car.
Or because you got your house is clout. Driving that $70,000 car and they live in an apartment.
Yeah, same thing. But I'm saying your house is clout. Buy the house, then you can go get the car off of the house. See what I'm saying? That's hood rich. You know that's the program is twisted, but we can't help it. You know, I've asked a couple of African guys, man, when I was working at Dynex. I said, why y'all shy away from the American black men and the black women? You know what he said? He said y'all still under colonialism. I said, huh? He said, y'all still under colonialism. You know. He said, it's not your fault. It's just deeply embedded in it, and you can't come out of it.
Yeah.
You know. He said, that's why we shy away. You know, he said, because we broke away from that. You know. And I said, but damn, it took me a while to realize. Then I understand it the more I started communicating with him, right? He pointed out certain things, you know, that they do for festivals that we do all the time.
Yeah.
You know. And see, that, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the word picnic is a word that we should never use. That word came out back in the day, man, called pick-a-nic. Y'all know, old people used to say, we're going to have a pick-a-nic.
Yeah.
And that came from white folks, pick a nigger. when they had social events in Oklahoma and places like it, even around here in these rural areas, right?
Yeah.
Your little black kid get caught and walk down the street, a black man, a woman, on one of the weekends that they having a festival, you become an amusement. You know, they hang you up on the tree, cut your ears off, testicles off, whatever they want to do, and hey, everybody take souvenirs home, hey, pick a nigga. See, that's why you don't use the term picnic, you know, because it came out of pick a nick, you know. And if you read anything about Black Wall Street, you'll see all that was the same thing, man. You know, people know that we got a heritage that's just awesome. You know, just awesome. Kings and queens, right? And people don't want that to be known. This is like the things that are going on in school right now. They've realized that lies been told so much. Now they want to go back and tell the truth. But you got big dignitaries that don't want their kids to know how their forefathers were, you know. But their kids know anyway. You got more white kids trying to be black than they trying to be white. You sort of beside a car right now, you think it's some soul over there pumping. Hey, that's Blue Eyes Soul, man. You know, they kicking the rap. They dressing like us. They doing everything, man. So I'm saying, so it's time to change. You know, why you still got on applications, what's your color? What's your race? Why is that still on the applications?
Yeah, that's not necessary.
See, that's discriminatory. See what I'm saying? And it's still there, man. You know, some of them don't have it. But the ones that don't have it, they ask you their question anyway.
Yeah.
See, they still want you to still. Then even when it's far now with the applications, non-Latino or Hispanic, yes or no. That's on the side.
And that's weird because it's separate.
Yeah.
From everything else.
So what they're telling you right there.
And some of them, when I bought my last firearm, me and the guy was joking about that because it asked, excuse me, it asked you your race once.
Mm-hmm.
And Latino is one of the choices.
Yeah, you got a yes or no, Latino or
and
either.
And then it asks you again, but it's just that separate from everything else.
Yes, sir.
And you have to answer the same question again. And me and him both were like, there's no point. You've already answered it once, but you're requiring it to be answered a second time.
That's a confirm, like your email confirm this password.
Are you sure?
Yeah. You know, so we don't have to second guess you, see what I'm saying? But it's a point to that. It's a point to that. Just like everything else. They want to see how many black people own firearms and how many people buy firearms.
Oh yeah,
that's the point. That's the point to that.
Let's keep in count.
Yeah, you ever been into one of these gun shows, man?
Oh yeah.
You see what's in there? You see the population? Mm-hmm. How it is? They got kids carrying all rifles, ammunition, everything to the truck. You know.
Yeah.
You know you don't see too many Latinos or people of color up in places like that. You know. And there's a reason for that, you know. But like I said, man, you know, this world, hopefully with this pandemic, what we was getting back to, it would be amazed to find out how many people have actually slipped and lost their mind. See, because most people, man, before this lockdown with this pandemic, they thought they were really free.
Oh, yeah. Just
they move around, do
about things and not.
Move around, do what they want to do, when they want to do it.
Yeah.
How they want to do it. And then when the people start telling them you can't do this or do that, you know, hey, it's crazy, man, but you got to look at it like this, though. Take that opportunity, which some of them have, because some people came up with some very nice things in this pandemic, man. I mean, they done went inside their head and pulled out some nice creativity, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what you do. You sit down and you really find out what's happening in the world you live in. When they shut it down, you know, that's like I said, when I did time, what I did, man, I stepped outside the penitentiary. But I mean, I made myself stay out of the main population so I could look into the population.
Yeah.
You know, and I said the same thing, like in there looking out on this world. Now you think about this, before the pandemic, you had so many responsibilities, man, that you had no time to get into your family or yourself.
Yeah.
You work 5 days a week. Sometimes you'll pull that sixth day for that overtime, right?
Okay. Just to make it.
Then you got Sunday that you supposed to take care of household chores and things that you missed during the week.
Yeah.
But Sunday don't last for so long. Next thing you know, Monday, you right back into the same routine. So you don't put that off to next week. That's next week. Then you never put it off to till you never do it, right?
Yeah, it becomes a cycle to where because it never gets complete.
You never had time to do it.
Yeah.
Because you always got other things to do. You didn't even had time to sit down and think about nothing. You know, you come home, look at TV, a certain program you like. If you're playing a little game or something, you know, you put so many hours to that, and bam. Next thing you know, the clock ring and you gone.
Yep.
You know, everything regimented, just like robots. See what I'm saying? But now, you sit back and think, man, I don't have a job to go to. I don't have this. I don't have that to do. And little brain get the ticket. Get the ticket. It's good and it's bad because, like they said, Isle of Man is the devil's workshop.
Yeah.
And we done seen how some of that done came out. See what I'm saying? You know, but it's got its pros and its cons like everything else. But I'm just saying, I'm hoping that people realize that America is a melting pot. You know, we got every nationality in the world in America. America been selling their lies so long about this is a free country. Come to America, you'll be rich and everything. People come over here, man, for that purpose. Looking to be rich. Looking to be famous. See what I'm saying? And they let everybody in, everybody supposed to come in. That's why I couldn't understand when they talking about sending immigrants back. I send the immigrants back. Hell, everybody came over here was immigrants. But the Indians. So who you sending back? Everybody in America but the Indians? I know they would love it. You know.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? You know, we just got to deal with reality, man. But like I say, you know, this pandemic thing is a beautiful thing because it's giving everybody the opportunity to see we are one people.
Yeah.
This is not just affecting certain people. This is affecting everybody.
Well, and
regardless of what your financial status is or whatever, it's affecting everybody. Corona don't give a shit about nobody.
Another good example of that was 9/11.
Yeah.
That was a real good example.
That's the first thing.
How you got all these different people with all these different beliefs, but then that one thing happened. Everybody's saying the only way we're going to get through this
we gotta
is
unite.
To be one. And right. it was great for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it just kind of, you know, just kind of dissipated.
Yeah, somebody threw a lug wrench in it as usual. See,
yeah.
Man, this thing, I found out this thing works the same way here as it does in any institution. America is an institution. See what I'm saying? Just like your prisons, just like everything, all this shit is an institution. When things are ran too smooth, somebody got to do something to trick it up.
Oh, yeah.
See, you know, I found that out, like, you know, being in prison, right? If the population was going too smooth for too long, man, they send the police in, man, with riot gear, all kind of stuff, hoping somebody do something silly, right, to break that peace. See, you can't be, when you're peaceful, you can think. You come together as one.
Yeah.
But if you can keep everybody divided, you can conquer. See what I'm saying? That's where they turn divide and conquer. If you keep everybody divided and at each other's throat, you can't even think about being friends, and you really don't know why you're being enemies.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? But if you chill down and let everybody start getting together, say, damn, look here, man. Ain't no different. You know, and that's what I'm saying. I love these interracial babies, man. You know, because girls that I went to school with, man, back in the 60s and 70s, man, you know, shit, their mom would have beat them to death if they'd have caught them on the blackboard.
Right.
You know, and then you see the same mama and the grandma out here at these carnivals and at these fairs and stuff, got a little black baby on the hip. Oh, ain't she cute? Yes, she is. Look at her hair. You know. And they wanted to do the same thing, but their granddad and mama would have beat them to death and sent the black man to penitentiary for rape. You know, a whole lot of brothers died for that, man. You know, it wasn't rape. They already had relationships going. But if the girl had to say it in the name different, she was in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, she was in trouble.
It's not hard to figure out a way to divide people cause turmoil.
No,
it's actually easy to do.
Real easy. And you can play people against each other real easy.
The bad thing about that is a lot of people, not all people, but a lot of people don't see that that's what's happening.
No.
So they'll join in kind of a follow the leader type thing, not even really knowing what they're following, but they'll join in a follow the leader type thing and keep that division going. And then by the time they realize it, it's too late.
Yeah.
It's already had the desired effect of what whoever started it was trying to do.
Yeah, they're in too deep. You know, yeah. They definitely in too deep. You know what I mean? And most of the time, it's really not realized until it touched close to home.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's when it's realized. See what I'm saying? You know, that's like these black police officers out here. You know, they see their people being attacked. They don't intervene in no kind of way, you know. And I can't figure that out. Because it's just a matter of time for somebody in your family going to get attacked if they black too. See what I'm saying?
Or them themselves. Yeah,
you know, and if you're so scared of your job that you can't speak up against your fellow officer, you don't need that job anyway. You know what I mean?
And that's, I mean, that's literally any race, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's common sense to defend your own, you know, regardless. You know, no job or no position that you in should stand in the way of that. You know, because that's humanity, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, it's humanity. You see what I'm saying? You know, I know back in the day, man, you know, what's going on now, it wouldn't have went on back in the day. You know, that's why they had riots and stuff. We couldn't stand around and see that happening, you know, without getting involved. We could not do that.
Yeah.
You got people standing around now, they film this on their phone and put it on Facebook and places like that and be laughing about it. You know, it make just as much sense to me as a bunch of guys sitting around in the penitentiary looking at cops. Bad boy, bad boy. You know, they laughing at this. And one dude told the dude, said, man, so damn, so that's crazy. Y'all looking at cops and that's what got you up in here. You know, a correctional officer told them that, right? But they hadn't paid no attention to that.
Yeah.
They fighting over to change the channel, man. Let's look at cops. They chasing the dude for selling crack or whatever. They slam him down. They laughing, man. You know, dude, so man, so I can't figure y'all out. This is what you mean, officer. He said, but that happened to at least one or two of y'all. And y'all sitting here looking at cops with everything else on TV.
Yeah.
You know, but that was a wake-up call. You get caught up in things and don't know why you caught up in them. You know. Same thing that you got you in a cage. You laughing at the same man putting somebody else in a cage just like you in a cage. See what I'm saying? They go to show, like you said, that follow the leader and how easy you can be persuaded to accept things that you know you shouldn't accept.
Yeah, that mob mentality.
Yeah.
Where, you know, everybody else is doing it, I might as well do it. Yeah, I'm not going to do my own thing because that's not what everybody else is doing. It's unfortunate that more people don't realize that you don't have to follow what everybody else is doing just
No, you don't. No, you don't. I think it's where a lot of these people that's in charge of these gangs, man, they got control like it. And, I really can't fault them in a way, because if a person weak enough to go for the mess that you feed them, then I guess you're supposed to ride it. You know, I'm not with it. I know I can never be in a gang. I know I can never be in a gang, see, because I don't like to take orders and rule from somebody, especially when I peep out that they're not worth following. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
I can't do that. You know what I mean? You know, I really can't do that. You know, that's just not in me. You know, because somewhere down the line, me and the leader gonna have a conflict. You know. Then if I realize you got that many people scared of you, you know, then you getting out the way, because I can take over this. You know what I mean? Just simple as that. You know. But
well, hopefully, and to try to bring it back around and not get off track. Hopefully, when you get to a point where you're doing those live concerts and stuff,
mm-hmm.
if nothing else, hopefully. It gives inspiration to somebody else, like, hey, that's not a bad idea to not only get my name out there, but get people to start enjoying things more. And you might end up getting more people willing to come out, you know, with whatever their talent is.
Yeah, that's the plan.
That's how you grow those things.
That's the plan.
Jamal does this concert, this free concert. You got live music and everything. And then Timmy over here sees it. He's like, you know, that's a good stage for me to be on for my talent to be recognized.
Yeah, sponsor a talent show. When the last time you heard of a talent show, man? It's
when I was in probably elementary
school. See what I'm saying? You know, sponsor things like talent shows. You know, people, you know, register and sign up for a talent show, give them little gifts and everything. That's a motivator.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you encourage them to, hey, what I'm doing is worthwhile. Somebody like it.
And a lot of times, those I can remember... Those talent shows in elementary school, you would find out that somebody had a talent that nobody knew about.
Yes, sir.
And they were really good at it.
Yes,
but
sir.
Nobody knew anything about
it
until you got this fifth grade talent show going on and realize this girl over here
can
seem like she's been doing it for 25 years.
Yes, sir. Or but, play an instrument like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the things I found out here recently, man, you got a lot of young kids that has never seen musicians play live instruments.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. Now, outside of some bands in schools, they see that. But, I mean, as far as a band playing R&B, jazz, or something like that, where you got guitars, you got a whole band, a lot of these kids, they don't see it because you don't see it on TV.
Yeah, the opportunity is not there. I mean, like, you still have, like, Festival in the Park and stuff, and they still periodically have live music, which is good.
Right.
But there's not a lot of it.
No, it's not.
Say, as much as it was, let's say, 20 years ago.
Yeah, at least 20
years
ago.
That used to be every weekend somewhere.
Yeah, 30 years ago, it was definitely everywhere.
Yeah, but now it's, you know, you might get it once a month during the summer or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something that, you know, it worked because people enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's right. Man, let me tell you, when I knew when I was a kid, churches had a whole lot of to do with community unity, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had buses, man, that would leave from over here in Morningstar, Jerusalem Baptist Church, several other churches, right, that would go to Hungry Mother Park up in Marion, Virginia, go down to Firestone, down in Martinville, go to different little places, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and this was like at least two times out of every month during the summer. You know, they got Apple bus, trailway buses, man, pull up at the churches and people just going somewhere like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you like, you know, like you had women in the neighborhood, like on Sundays, man, and Saturdays and Sundays, you know, they'll send somebody around to take orders. You know, so how many people in your house want to buy a dinner? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know, then, they, you know, with the dinner, man, you might get a free jug of Kool-Aid or dessert or something along with you, depending on how many plates you order.
Right.
You know, and community took care of each other. You know, I know, man, see, there was plenty of time, man, like, you know, I might get a whooping from the person next door or down the street. And soon as my mama come home, they tell my mama what they did. And it wasn't no need me trying to call them a lie because I'm going to get whooped twice as hard for calling the person a lie.
Right,
saying that they was wrong for what they said, right? You know, but people start together then. You know, now you take somebody, a kid now, and try to raise them, the parent might come in and shoot you, man.
No, and we talked about, I can't remember what episode it was or who I had on. I think it was my friend Dale from Let's Toast Media.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's who I was talking to, and we were talking about just that.
Right.
Where we grew up in a time where your parents were the only ones that could whoop your ass.
No, sir. Everybody in the neighborhood raised you.
Everybody.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And now, I was telling him, I barely know who my neighbors are to the point where if I seen them outside of their property, I wouldn't know who they were.
That's right.
And I was also saying, you know, I've got younger kids. I personally miss that when I was their age.
Mm-hmm.
I could go outside. My mom didn't have to be outside.
No.
She could be in the house asleep.
Somebody got an eye on
me. Don't worry. There's plenty eyes on me to where if I do something I ain't supposed to be or somebody approach me that ain't supposed to be, there wasn't no worry about what was going to happen because somebody always had that eye on
them. Yes, sir. Somebody, you're going to find out. They're going to definitely tell you.
And it was a mutual understanding.
Yeah.
Hey, if you see him acting up, you handle it and then bring it to me, and I'm going to handle it again.
That's right.
And now, you can't say anything to somebody's kids when they're doing something wrong or something like that because it turns into something different.
That's right.
And it's just little stuff like that. Once you realize that stuff is completely gone.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, how did we move away from that?
Like I said, it just got divided. You know, certain things, you know, you got to look at this, man. Like, people would get jobs and they would move to different areas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when they move to different areas, depending on what the job is, sometimes their attitude moves too. You know what I mean? They kind of forget where they were, who they are, and try to be somebody that they're not. And then by doing that, you know, like they dissing not only the raising they had or what they were used to, they just dissing friends, family, and everybody because, hey, I'm moving up, I'm a little better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you can't catch up with me, then I'm really not trying to come back there because I didn't like it when I was back there. So, you know, I see you when I see you, if I see you.
Yeah.
You know, and see, like with this music thing, like you said, but by getting talent shows and getting people out there like that, then it involved parents too. See, because a lot of parents got talent that kids that the kids don't know about.
Oh yeah.
You know, and like I said, they've been so caught up in trying to raise a family that a lot of that they forgot about. You know, so that could help them also, you know, come
that
back.
That kind of stuff is just, that's just fun.
Yeah, that's what I said. They, you know, and people don't have fun like it anymore. Like,
no, not at all.
Somebody said years ago, man, and which is the truth, you know, when you were little, even when you were little, right? Y'all sat down at a table and ate together sometime.
Yeah.
That's very rare.
Well, even if not at a table, everybody sat down and ate at the same time.
But that rarely happens now.
No.
You know. Most people don't cook. You go out to one of these fast foods and bring in whatever you want to eat and whatever, you know. Like I said, families just don't get together, you know, just as funerals or something like that. And I mean, that's seen it has become a family reunion thing, funerals.
But I feel like a lot of that is because the opportunity to do things as a family is not as available as it was back then either. Being, like I said, music festivals and stuff like that.
Yeah. They never got together. Yeah,
families that did that together. Right, but I feel like now those opportunities are few and far between.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not happening all the time. So if it only happens every once in a while, then everybody don't get the chance to do it for whatever reason.
That's true.
But if you have something like that happening on a fairly regular basis, then more people get the opportunity to experience that. You know, it's like Halloween's coming up, so you got pumpkin patches and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, when you go to those, most of the people you see are groups that are families.
It's families, that's right.
But that's once a year.
Yeah, it's like most of the carnivals.
Yeah.
It's family, see what I'm saying?
But it's once a year. But
you
if
know.
You've got it going on, you know, fairly consistent more than one time a year, then more people get to experience and more people get to look forward to it.
Well, that's like, they used to have recreation centers like Eureka Park. You know, it was something going on over there just about every night.
Yeah.
You know, where families could come in and support the kids. We did playing soccer, playing tennis, basketball, or whatever it might be, you know. And like I said, throughout the years, man, things like that were just taken away and they were faded away. So people just got used to not having anything.
Yeah, got phased out, and then you forget.
That's just like the nightlife, man. I mean, you know, the nightlife wasn't never hitting on too much. I don't think so.
Not here.
You're not here, but in other places it might have been, but it's slowed down everywhere now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because of this pandemic, see what I'm saying? You know, the nightlife has just slowed down. So, you know, restaurants, everything, you know, you got Grubhub, you got Uber and all that, man, you know. People don't have to go out to do a thing. They just stay right in the crib.
Yeah, more things are designed for people to stay at home
and stay isolated. Isolation.
Yeah.
Isolation. If you isolated from people, you cannot communicate with people.
And I understand the need or the convenience of it. Yeah, of course I understand that. But at the same time,
you isolating each other. People are being separated from each other.
Get rid of everything else in order to do that.
That's right.
And it's like now, if you go to a restaurant now, and there's five people at a table, four of them are staring at their phone.
Yeah,
they're sitting 3 feet away from each other, but you got four out of five that's looking at their phone the entire time. And it's like, you know.
So why did they go out?
It's crazy.
You know, now what you're saying about that phone thing, that's a trip. I've been in places where people were together. And they were texting each other across the table. And I mean, you can conversate just like we doing, right?
I've seen
But instead of them talking, they texting. I said, man, see, that's a habit. That's a bad habit. That's an addiction.
But see, I think for me,
I think that's part of the reason I do this.
Yeah, that's an
because I like to actually talk to people.
That's it.
And even I don't talk to people on the phone very often. Not my friends anyway.
Right, right.
You know, if it's some business related, of course I'm going to talk on the phone. But even with my friends, I barely talk to them on the phone.
Right.
But nothing takes the place of sitting down in front of my friends, having a conversation, laughing, having fun, being able to see facial expressions reactions and stuff.
That's true.
Nothing takes the place
of that. No, nothing takes the place of that, no.
I don't care if you got FaceTime or whatever. No. None of that stuff takes the place of that personal interaction where you can see that stuff. You know, it's right in front of you.
Nothing should take the place of that because that's real. But it has taken the place of it because you got more people that would rather communicate through the texting or through social media than actually sit down and talk to somebody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So that has become addictive. You know, I've had people to call me, and I'd be like in the kitchen or something, phone back in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I got a text about 30 minutes ago. After the call, I'd have heard the phone ring. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but did I text you about a half an hour ago? I said, yeah, I saw that. Why didn't you call? You know, I said, you could have called quicker than you could have texted all that little message you sent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't like to call. I said, well, I don't like to text. You know, so yeah, I got you a half an hour later.
You must not want to talk that
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you know, come on, man. Yeah, but it's just a habit, man, you know, because most people can't go from one room to the next phone without the telephone being in the pocket.
Yeah.
Or in the hand.
I'd like to see, really like to see, at least in my lifetime, to where we get some of that back. And you can't even blame all of it on the pandemic because faded out before this. But yeah. I would like to see it get back to where people actually, you know, I had one of my friends talking about we should all get together and play spades.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking to myself,
it'd be something.
I remember when that was a normal thing.
Yes, sir.
Even me, that was a normal thing that me and my friends did. Sir. And it didn't take much planning. Hey, what you doing right now? Nothing. Hey, we're going to play cards. Gone. You know, it was.
I'll be sitting around like we doing now. Somebody throw a deck of cards
on
the table.
Somebody throw some cards. I'm like, yeah, you know, need one more person.
Yeah, run me or something. You know, we playing something, you know.
But it sounded, I liked the idea, but it sounded so foreign at the same time to get 3, 4, 5 random people together to do something.
Oh, we got something else to do.
There's nothing gained out of it.
Yeah.
You're not gambling or anything. Mm-mm. You're just there to interact with other people and have fun. So it was a foreign sounding concept, even though it's a concept that I'm very familiar with.
It's kind of like something that's obsolete now, you know.
And I got to thinking,
what is a deck of cards?
I don't know. Now I want to do it just to see if it feels the same way that it did then when I wasn't thinking about,
I hear that,
this is missing, we should do this more often type thing. I was telling one of my friends, my friend Mark, he's on the podcast, and we were drinking Old English 800.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately I had the thought is, we should do a podcast where everything we talk about, everything we drink, everything we talk about is from 20 years ago.
Gotcha.
So we're drinking Colt 45, and I won't drink Mad Dog. I'll never make that mistake again. But, you know, things from a different era where things were different.
Right.
Because I'll tell you, when he walked in that door, and he set that OE on the table, I was more happy about that, because we had liquor and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
I was more happy to see that OE than anything else we had. And I've got liquor. He bought some with him. But I was more happy to see that. Not because I wanted to drink beer. It's just because immediately when I seen it, it took me back to where
some good
that
time.
Was a normal thing that we drank all the time.
Yeah, some good times. Yeah. I hear that.
So it immediately took me back to that. I'm like, man, that's that's a good feeling.
Yeah, that's right. When you can go back and relate to something to feel good is wonderful, you know.
Oh yeah.
It shows you how much you missed it and didn't realize it.
Yeah. When you was in the middle of it, you didn't know that's what was going on. But once it goes away and you see it again, it's like, oh man, it's the same thing with music. You know, you can hear a song from 25 years ago, but most of us, as soon as you hear that song, you can remember a very specific situation.
Yes, sir. That's what music is good for. Music is definitely good for bringing back memories, man. You know, it'll take you down memory lane real quick, and it'll create some good moments.
Oh yeah.
You know, sure enough. You know, it's a universal language. You know, it's a message that everybody can relate to, no matter what race, creed, or whatever you might be. You know, it's universal. You know, and that's the good thing about it. Everybody can relate to it. If you can find somebody that don't like music, I don't even know what it would be.
I don't think I've ever met anybody that didn't like any kind of music.
Yeah, I mean, that would be rare, wouldn't it, man?
Obviously, you have people that don't like certain genres of music.
Yeah. But that's natural. That's natural.
I don't think I've ever ran across anybody that don't like anything.
I know. I mean, that'd be crazy, you know.
Yeah, that would be alien right there.
Yeah, it really would be, you know.
Well, like I said, hopefully, you know.
But that's what I like to do. I would
love to see that stuff come back one way or the other.
Yeah, I like to do that because it's a lot of talent, man. You know, I'm going to tell you, years ago, man, I even came up with a concept. I've visited several different churches.
Mm-hmm.
Every church got a nice group in it somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere, you know what I'm saying? So what I wanted to do at one time was to check out these churches, at least five or six of them, and find out what kind of quartet or whatever they might have, you know, that sounded nice.
Mm-hmm.
Get all these guys together, these groups together, and do a mass recording of each group, you know, and put it out there like Voices of the Valley or something like that.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Because there's a lot of talent, man, that's in churches now. They left the street.
Yeah.
You know, you got a whole lot of old pimps and players, man, that's deacons and ministers now. You know what I mean? You know, there's choir directors and stuff like that because the nightclubs are closed. The churches are the social media. They're the gathering now. You know. So, you know, they up in the churches now. You know, for what they used to do on in the clubs, they can't do. So the churches is the hangout now before the pandemic. Now some churches are shut down because of the pandemic.
Right.
You know, but I'm just saying, man, you know, you still got to keep it alive. You know, you still got to keep that thing alive. And music, like I said, is universal. It's something that everybody needs. It's something that's going to always be around. You know. Always be around. I mean, you know, it's just when you hear a bird chirping in the morning. See, that's music.
Yeah.
You know, they communicate with each other, but that's a song in there. You know, if you listen to that, you know, everything, man, everything's got rhythm to it, you know. And, you know, we walk in time. We talk in time. Everything is in rhythm and rhyme, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, if you sit down and listen, you know, it's a rhythm. When you walk, it's 1-2, 1-2. You know what I'm saying? You know. It's just you use one foot before the other. No matter how you do it, if you count it, it's rhythm. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and if you speed it up, you know, you got 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. You know, and then if you stagger to the side, you might 1-2-3, 1-2-3. You know what I mean? But you still there. See what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So, you know, it's just a universal thing. And I'm so glad, man, that I'm blessed with that. You know, I've never been taught music, like I said, except for, you know, I can read music for drums, for snare drums and stuff like that. I can read for that. I can write lyrics, you know. We can be having on conversation and I can hear some music. And I'm glad that I'm gifted enough where I can just sit down and write some words right off the top of my head. So I'm saying, you know, just put that together. And I'm glad that I can do that because a lot of people can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got overnight sensations or these one hit wonders, right? A lot of times what happens with that, people got the talent, but they can't write their own material, they can't write the lyrics, they can't play the instruments, so when they get their contract for 4 or 5 albums in a year's time,
mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying, if they can't find some composer to work along with them, they can't produce that album,
yeah,
or what they asked for, saying, hey,
And they become that one hit.
They gone. They gone, you know. And see, and that's for, you know, that's when you got to use your creativity. See, a lot of guys can't do that. They want to ride on somebody else's ticket, which is good, but like we were saying about the manufacturing jobs and all that, man, when that money started coming in, if you spend it fast as you get it, you can always stay exactly where you were.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't care what you got. If you got $100 and you spend it foolishly, you're going to end up with zeros just like you had before you got the $100.
Absolutely.
So I'm saying? So if you got millions of dollars or $100,000, right, and you keep buying and you don't invest that in something that can put some money back,
yeah,
you're going to eventually end up with zeros. When you keep subtracting, what's subtracting bring you? It's going to always come back to zero.
Absolutely.
So I'm saying? You got to add something to that sometime to keep it up. And see, that's what most people do when it started coming in. They send that one picture. It's like tunnel vision. They don't see but one track. You know, yeah. Like the horse with the blinders on it. They don't see nothing on the side. Peripheral, everything is shut out. They just see what's happening right there. Oh, I got to have this. I want that. Then you end up with a lot of stuff when you broke that you can't even give to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then you be wondering, damn, why did I buy this? What did I want with this? You know.
Well, like I said, hopefully...
But I'd like to change that. Like I said, I want to give these kids a motivation, man, you know, because I feel like if I can do it, anybody can do it. And like I said, I check out people, man, like Mike Tyson, you know, Larry Holmes, Holyfield, all them people, man. You know, them people struggling, man. Muhammad Ali, all those people struggling, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it showed me that you can do if you want to do. You just don't let somebody tell you what you can't do. Because a lot of times when somebody tell you you can't do something, they don't want you to do it because they don't have the nerve or the motivation to do it.
Right.
You know.
Well, like I said, hopefully something happens where we can start getting back to those type things that do motivate people.
Yeah, that's what we need. That's what we need.
Go out there and get.
That's what we need.
And I think, like I said, I really think family events like live concerts and stuff like that is definitely a good step in the right direction.
Yeah. And I tell you something I thought about, man, I would love to do, you know, if I live long enough and get enough money to do it, I would love to open, I'd like to go right downtown here and buy one of those big buildings and turn that big building into like a club.
Yeah.
See, but I want the club to be for everybody. One night we're going to have country and western. One night we're going to have bluegrass. Weekends, so if I prefer Sundays or either late Saturday nights and Sundays to have jazz. See, because you got a lot of people around here that love jazz, man, moving in from these upstate areas, and no jazz is happening in Roanoke.
Right.
You got a whole lot of country western, a whole lot of pop and stuff like that, but no jazz.
Right.
See what I'm
right.
saying? R&B is very scarce around here. See what I'm saying? You know, good R&B is scarce around here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, you know, I want to have something like that, man, and just set it up as like the showcase. You know, we showcasing everybody.
Right.
You know, if you got Saturday evenings, kids can come in there and display their talent. You know what I mean? And you know, you don't need much for kids, man. All they want just a little slice of pizza or something around or something like that, little sodas or something, you know. But you want them to come in, you know, if you rap, if you dance, if you sing, whatever you do, you know, on a Saturday at a certain time, open mic for kids.
Oh,
see
yeah.
what I'm saying? Then the parent can come with them. See what I'm saying? And that's a family thing. You know, later on that night, you could pull a thing for on the doors. See what I'm saying? Then you could set up something. You can always get Amwood Park, you know, and sponsor an event in Amwood Park.
Yeah.
The same way. And at the same thing, you still got a club going on. See what I'm saying? That way you can bring acts in from out of town and show people different things. You know.
Yeah,
and that's you know yeah, and saying that's what's needed, man. We are just set in certain things, and when you got people moving into a city, man, that's coming in from other cities, they bringing ideas with them, right? So they used to certain things. So you got to cater sometimes to what those people are used to. If not, they will move out of here just like they moved in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find
somewhere where they can.
Yeah,
find
right. Something better, you know. So. And in a city like this where you know, where you got your manufacturing, your production and all that almost at zero because you got people in here with money now, you know, you losing so many kids a year every time they graduate because you don't have nothing to offer them. Nothing to offer them.
Can't wait to get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, because nothing to do. You know, at least when you were coming up, y'all had arcades at the mall and places like that.
Yeah.
You don't have that now, man. What kids do now? They get out here and just get in trouble, man.
That's another foreign concept, is an arcade in the mall.
Yeah.
A real arcade in the mall.
Yeah. You know, they just get out here and get in trouble. There's nothing for them to do, and nobody seems to care.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
They don't care until they do something.
Until it's one of their kids.
Yeah.
That's right. Like I said, until it's something that affect them, they're, oh, man, you know. And then they still being denied. They don't want to accept that they had a role to play in it.
Yeah.
But like I said, man, you know, in the final analysis, it's time for a change all the way around. And I think music always has been a great change. Music has carried us through depressions. It's carried us through hard times. It's carried us through a whole lot of eras, man. You know, and when disco came in, disco killed the R&B thing that we were in. It killed it, you know what I mean? Because I could relate to a club owner. Why would you pay an 8-piece group when you could pay a DJ to come in and spin records and get the same effect on the dance floor?
Right.
See what I'm saying? You paying one person instead of paying 8 people, you know, and they kind of hurt things. I remember the first time I went to see Heavy D, he was in concert down at Greensboro, man. He had 2 guys on the turntable, had about 4 dancers, and he was rapping, and that was the show. And that was Pat, you know, because that's when rapping had first come in, with Sugar Hill and all them, right?
Yeah.
And I said, wow, man, I said, it'd be hard for live musicians to come back. It'd be really hard, you know, and it's still hard. We still struggling to come back, you know. We are still struggling to come back. But like
it's,
I said,
it's hard, but I think it could be done.
It definitely, because people are still trying, like me, we're trying to bring it back. Because if you look at America Got Talent, The Voice and all that, you never see a band. You hear the music, but you never see nothing but the artists out there singing, right?
Yeah.
So people don't see bands. They don't even look for bands anymore. It's a soundtrack. You can get over there with a soundtrack and don't have to have not one musician on the stage.
Yeah.
You know, you get you a soundtrack, you good to go, man. You know, I did this, you know, but just a soundtrack and a good sound man on the soundboard.
Yeah.
You know, and get the same effect because people used to that, you know. But now, if you get up there with a full-piece band and they actually see somebody playing each instrument and they feeling that, see, that's the thing about that. A soundtrack and live, you feel that live.
Oh, yeah, you feel that, you know, vibration. Yeah,
you can't feel that off of that soundtrack. It's like you got headphones on. You get a clarity, you know, but you just don't get that vibe, man.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get that vibe, you know. But like I said, you know, it's all good. It's coming back, man. I'm so glad to be a part of it. Like I said, man, you know, I've been trying to do this since I was 12 years old, you know. And hell, man, like I've been on like a 50-year journey with this mess, man. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I'm glad that things are happening finally. Cause like I said, you know, I'm not the one to give up. I give out first. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad that things are finally coming. And like I said, it's almost tangible. I can almost touch what I've been dreaming for a long time. I can almost touch it. See what I'm saying? You know, and when it gets to that point, you know, I got my mind set. I know exactly what I want to do, and I know what I need to do. See what I'm saying? See, is what I need to do. Old man need and old man got to have. You got to take care of. Need more and got to have, man. You got to have them. See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, what I need to do is what I got to do.
Absolutely.
You know, see what I'm saying? You know, that gets past what I want to do. I want to do a whole lot, you know. But I know half the stuff I want to do, I might not never do, you know. But what I need to do, I try to focus on that and try to make that happen. You know, right now, I'm trying to find out what sibling of mine has got some of my genes in it that's musically. Or what grandkid of mine got that. I would love to see that so I can set them up to where I'm at now so they won't have to start from where I started. See what I'm saying?
Put them on that path.
Put them on that path. See what I'm saying? Right now, you know, and work with them, you know. And that way they'll keep it going. They'll keep it going, you know. So I figure that might pop out of one of my grandkids. It might pop out of my kids. But like I said, once they see me in action on that stage,
that might bring them
out of them for real. I'm dying to see that. I'm dying to see, because a couple of them, I hear them singing along with the records and stuff, right? And I be telling them, yeah, okay, I'm gonna see how good you are one day at this. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get you without that record.
Yeah.
You know, and if you listen, I can put you in the right pitch. I can take you where you need to go. You know what I'm saying? You know, I can definitely do that. You know, because I cup a tall, cold cup. I said, I might have to get a switch or something. I said, because y'all hard headed. You know, you're gonna tell me no, I don't want to sing that. And don't know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? You know, I said, but I'm gonna get you right if you listen. She said, if you listen, I'll get you right. You know, but you got to want it. You know, that's the thing about it. If you don't want it, it's just like taking a horse to the water. You can't make him drink.
Well, you know? Hopefully these ideas will, you know, inspire people to start leaning a little bit towards those talents they got and start showcasing them a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping, man. That's what I'm hoping. Because like I said, you know, everybody's got a talent.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even if it's just writing, you know.
Everybody can do something whether that's right. Aware of it or not.
You know, if you can write a poetry, if you can write short paragraphs or whatever. See, and that's one thing I like about my music, man. And basically all music. But my songs that I write, to me, they're like a short story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling a story in 3 minutes or 4 minutes. Because that's what a song is, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You got your introduction, you know. You got your bridge, you got your punchline. See what I'm saying? You come back and then you got your ending.
Yep.
You told that whole story in 3 to 4 minutes of whatever that song occurred. You know, and that's a short story. You know, you telling a story in every song is a story being told if you listen to the lyrics.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And that's what I do. You know, I started out writing poetry. You know, then I said poetry is no different than a song. Because back in the 60s and stuff, most songs you listen to then, every other verse was a rhyme.
Yeah.
Every other verse was a rhyme. See what I'm saying? So I said, okay. So now, when you listen to music, you still hear that rhyme in there somewhere. That whatever, that second paragraph or first paragraph, it's going to rhyme with the third or the fourth or somewhere.
Yeah.
To tie it in there, you know. So like I said, it's all joined in to tell a story. You know. So you telling a story in every song, it's a short story that you're telling. So that's how I write, man. You know, like I said, my song, Your Destiny, you know, it's basically saying you are the captain of your ship. Whether you sail or lose, it's solely up to you. You know, you can't put that on somebody else.
Right.
You cannot do that, you know. You know, I even use a part like, you know, Maurice White said, you know, words of wisdom are yes, I can, you know. You know, and it is. If you say I can't, you know, you defeating yourself when you say words like that.
Right.
You know, because you plant that seed in your brain. When you say I can't, you already telling your brain, well, I can't do this, so somewhere you're not going to put forth the effort.
Yeah, I'm not.
Because you're already in the game.
Lost.
You're already lost, see what I'm saying? You know, or just like if, you know, just you procrastinating because you said if, that means you're not going to get into it at that time. You know, you thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, and while you thinking about it, somebody else might be moving forward with that. You know, have you ever realized that?
Usually they are.
Yeah, have you ever realized that most of the things that makes people millionaires are simple things?
Oh, yeah.
The simplest thing that you might not even think about, people make millions of dollars off of that.
And after they do it, you always run into somebody that, I had that same idea.
Yeah. Or then like,
you didn't act on it.
And then you think, well, look how simple that is, man. You know, like the little thing they got that they twist to put down in a sink, and you just twist it and it pulls all the hair stuff up out.
Yeah.
You know, people did that back in the day with a coat hanger.
Yep.
You know, never thought about it. You know, but somebody saying that, say, okay, I can do this. Manufactured, you know, I sell it for $9.99 or $5.99. You get 1 million people to buy something for $5.99, you straight.
Yeah.
You are straight, you know.
Well, like I said.
But that's the plan, man.
I'm looking forward to the live entertainment.
Yeah, me too. Like I said, I got to have it, man. It's calling me, man. I mean, I'm to the point right now, I'm so sick of being around here where I'm at, man, and the entertainment being like it is, I'm stagnated, man.
Right.
You know, I can't move forward, like I'm in limbo, you know, I'm trying to say, but damn, you know, what I do next, man? You know, what do I do next? You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm kind of feeling like, you know, when I got to the point where, hey, man, I got to make parole or something, I'm at that point. You know, it's time for a change.
Yeah.
You know, it's time for a change, you know. And when I get to feeling like it, most of the time the change comes. It's time for a change, you know. And things are moving in that favor, but just never fast enough. But It's an old saying I have to stick by, and I know it's true. Things always come through when just when you think they're not. See what I'm saying? That's when they show up. When you need them the most, that's when they show up. So I'm stuck on that. You know, because like I said, the ball is in my court and it's been rolling and it's still rolling forward. As long as they don't put it in reverse, we cool. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it's running forward and it's going forward and it's smooth. And every time I hear a good word, that's wonderful. You know what I'm saying? So like I said, you know, I just stick to my guns and I need to get out here with this music, man. I got to have it, man. You know, I got to have it. You know, I want that more than just about anything. You know what I mean?
Well, we'll keep our eyes on it.
That's my love. You know what I mean?
Promote it as much as we possibly can, because I'm sure that other people want that type of thing to come back. So any chance we get to promote that type of thing, we will. Whenever you get something started or whatever, let me know.
Oh, I no doubt about it.
I'll be happy to bring you on. Let's talk about it and promote it more.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're going to keep it real. Like I said, you know, I would love, man, like I said, I know from back in the day, we would put in petitions to run a park, and the people asked us what day we wanted, and when we asked them to set up a stage and stuff like that. And I think you can still go about that same way. You put on a proposal to the city, right?
Yeah.
And I think that thing, and like I said, they don't charge. At one time, they didn't charge you for that. And whatever they charge you for now, you know, it can't be much. And it shouldn't be much at all, because you're doing it for the community.
Yeah.
You know, the parks are there for everybody, free, supposed to be. You know, all you're doing is just using electricity to carry your instruments and stuff through. But it shouldn't charge you for something like that, you know, because you're trying to do something positive. And like I said, I get hooked up with the right people, man. I need somebody around here in this valley, man, to get hold of my story.
Yeah.
And give me some sponsorship. That's exactly what I need to do. Right. You know, I need me some sponsors. See what I'm saying? Because I know what to do. Like, as far as this violence thing they've been having, mm-hmm. I done went through all that, man. You know, and you can't get a person that has never experienced things like this to go out here and talk to people that's doing stuff like this. That's just like I said, you cannot get a person that called himself a drug abuse counselor that has never done drugs.
Right.
He's going out of the book. You can't relate to what those people out there have actually went through and have experienced drugs or alcohol. You can't do that out of a book.
No, not at all.
You can't do it. You know? And I think that's why a lot of people you see in there, they got master's degrees, PhDs, and all that, right? Working as maitre d's at hotels,
mm-hmm.
you know, or working as managers at these fast food places and working right beside a person that dropped out of high school.
Yeah.
Now, what was the purpose of you getting all that master's and you can't use it?
Other than putting yourself in debt.
And a lot of times, common sense goes along with that, too.
Yeah.
A lot of people, man, that's got all that education don't have common sense. You know, if they can't read it in a book, or somebody can't explain it to them out of a book, they can't comprehend it. You know, so common sense. If you got good common sense, man, and book sense, boy, you something to work with.
All right, so Jamal, man, again, I appreciate you coming on. It's been a learning experience for me, and I'm thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. But a lot of good ideas we came up with. I'm just hoping that we get to see that stuff happen.
Yeah, me too. You know, like I said, you know, most ideas, they become, you know, tangible and materialized, you know, if somebody get behind them. And I think we can do that. You know, I think we can do that, you know, because it's needed. It's something that's needed, you know, because I'm looking out for the next generation. You know, if anybody going to save what's going on right now, it's going to be the kids, man.
Absolutely.
It's going to be the kids, you know. Well, and like I said, you know, nerds, man, I think nerds the best thing they ever came up with when they came out with that term nerds, because nerds are going to be the ones that's going to save my grandkids and your grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
Not these knuckleheads that think they know everything. You know.
Those are the ones that don't know nothing to begin with.
You know, so, I appreciate the nerds, man. They really a must, because they're the only ones that's going to get in politics. They're the only ones getting into things that's going to save what need to be saved.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, everybody can't be a football player, basketball player, rapper, or entertainer. You know what I mean?
Somebody's got to flip.
Somebody
got
to be out there and make sure the things stay on the right path. You know what I mean? You can't sing your way into freedom. Yet, if that's the case, we'd be real free. You know what I mean? But many times, we don't song, we shall overcome. You know. But like I say, you know, you can basically check my story out on google.com. Just put my name in, Jamal Jahar Nubi, google.com, and it'll tell you quite a bit about me, you know. And you can also put in The Edge of Daybreak, Eyes of Love, Jamal Jahar Nubi, google.com. And it'll tell you quite a bit of what we haven't touched on in this subject here in the podcast.
And then also, as far as me, as far as I'm concerned, you can always reach the podcast at afaicpod@gmail.com. And for myself and Jamal, we'll holler at you. Hit you next time. Peace.
Peace.
As far as I'm concerned, this shit is over.